Yeah, before I continue, let me introduce myself. You know, I grew up in a church, you know, normal, one of the sister churches, church. You know, as a family, we were very religious. You know, every Sunday, you know, you put on your best shoes and your best shirt and, you know, you go to church every day. But as I grew up, something felt amiss to me, you know. I felt that something was missing. And instead of looking for God, I rebelled against the church. And I went out of the church. I went and do all the worldly stuff and everything that felt nice and felt lekker, I went to do first. And it was really good. I tried it twice, you know. You know, through my studies, I studied IT engineering and Cisco systems after that. And I worked 10 years in IT in corporate. But luckily, along that journey, I realized that God has never stopped looking for me. And I found Him again. And I really gave my life to the Lord. And for once, I could really tangibly feel that He was part of my life. Because someone took the time to actually come to explain to me who God is and that He wants a relationship with me. I never knew that. I was a Christian all my life. Even when I rebelled against the church, I didn't stop praying. I didn't stop reading my Bible. Because there's some pretty good stories in the Bible, right? So, someone took me by the hand and actually gave me the answers in black and white. I don't have my Bible with me. No. This is not my phone, this is my Bible. I'll put it on flight mode to prove it. But the moment I tasted and saw that the Lord is good, I could never deny Him again. And as more and more, I realized that changes became in my life. Now, I was addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to a lot of things of this world. I was an online gamer. I spent 350 hours a month playing Battlefield, including in office hours. I had my own office, and yeah. But since the Lord got hold of me, no one actually pointed out to me and says, "Carl, what I see is not good. You know, what you're doing is sin." No one pointed that out to me. But the more and more, welcome. You're very welcome. Please be seated. The more and more I read the word and listened to God's promises, the more and more I didn't have time for these other things that took over my life. The more and more I was, the word was lacquer to read. You know, I enjoyed reading the word. The less and less I had time to play games online. Up to a point where one day I logged into my computer again. I went to the pro servers, you know, where all the advanced guys are playing. And they kicked me off because I wasn't good enough anymore. Because I wasn't practicing anymore. And then up to a day, the gaming started, well, ended to being fun for me because I cannot play with the pros anymore. Why must I log onto the amateur server now, right? And that's how my journey, well, that's how basically my whole journey is, you know, just that the Lord works in us and he worked in me. And I'm still busy working out my salvation. I'm not sinless or sin-free. I'm a lot better than what I used to be. But yeah, and I just want to share a bit that the difference in mindset, you know, from doing the word or trying to get something out from God to just being in a relationship with Him, being in community with God, and growing. And go to the next slide, please. So I want to talk to you about reducing the distance. And, you know, the first question that I normally ask, you know, in my life, I base this on my life, is what can I do to get closer to God? Because through all this time, I ended, at the end of last year, quitting my job because I want to go into full-time ministry. Because, why? I want to be closer to God. So, end of last year, I quit my job. And I thought, you know, I joined Shofar's internship. You know, I'll dedicate this whole year to work for the church, work for God. You know, for Mahala, you know, that I give my all to the church. And I really thought, you know, by doing that, I can get so close to God, you know, that I can also say, like, I put my ear on Jesus' chest. You know, that's how close I wanted to be to God. So, it's the beginning of the year. I'm very amped, you know, and I really wanted to start doing this. So, the first day at the office, you know, I just asked, what can I do? You know, what can I do? You know, and then, where can I go preach? Where can I go minister? You know, I want to do everything that Shofar had to offer. I want to go do it as well because I have plenty of time now, you know. I don't have this 8 to 5, you know, problem, you know, that most of us are dealing with. You know, you only work on Sunday. So, and one of my first jobs was like just backing the chairs, or if we have like Bible school, you know, set up the projector. Because I'm in IT, you know, everything that connects with a wire is Carl's problem. Just because I'm in IT, you know, and it has a wire, it's Carl's problem. But then I was stuck again. I'm like, but God, I'm wanting to work for you, but I'm ending up doing the exact same things that I did in my job. Fixing PCs. Fixing Henny's iPad. 3 times a week. Henny is good with his IT, don't worry. But then I'm in the struggle, like, how can I back the chairs to honor God? How can I set up the projector? How can I do the things that I'm doing in honor to God? Because that is what I chose. That is what my life's dream was, is to quit my job and work for you, God. I really want to. And now I'm stuck doing the same thing, and I'm having this distance again. And then you get into the space of the second question, or actually a statement, that is my prayer now like hitting the roof? You know, why aren't my prayers answered? Because Jesus, I did so much for you. I did so much for you. Why am I not closer to you? Why am I still struggling in myself to connect with you? You know, I really perceived that I was going to get revelation like every day, you know, go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory in 1 week. And I struggled through half the year about trying to impress people on what I did. How more OCD can I pack the chairs? Like CDO, you know, OCD in alphabetical order. And it took me a long while to realize that it's not about packing the chairs. The work is so monotonous that my mind is free to worship the King of Kings, the person who gave me life, the person who gave me purpose, that I can spend time with Him. And the possibility that what I'm doing can get another person saved, or let one person get a new revelation of who God is. It's not about the work that we do. It's about understanding what God has done for us. And out of the joy that we have because He has done for us, we don't mind doing things for Him. It's like if you want to go to your best friend and your best friend is, you know, like an hour's drive away. We climb in our car and we drive. Why? Because we want to go see the person, our friend. But driving is work. It's something you have to do in order to get to your friend. But we do not see that as work, do we? It's just something small that we have to do in order to get to our friend that we want to get to. In the same in the gospel, there's a few things that we have to do. You can say reading your Bible is work. Or you can say it is where I get the promises that God gives me. That is where I can read what the purpose is for my life. And how can we call that? How do we dare call that work? Or anything that we do in order to get more of God, work. But thinking of the space that I was in, you know, I can't get closer to God. I feel that He's not listening, you know, to my prayers. You know, our mind spirals down to more questions like, why would an all-powerful God be interested in me? Because I did everything for Him and I'm receiving nothing. And why would anyone then be interested in me if God is not even interested in me? Can you see how this thought pattern is spiraling down? That this one negative thought about God is not interested in me, or I am distant from God, how that is affecting our lives. I want to tell you guys a story. You can go to that first picture, the dark one. Yeah. Thanks. I want to tell you guys a story about a soldier. He had a mission to go infiltrate an enemy camp. And he chose the darkest night with no moon to go get info out of this enemy camp. So it's a much longer story, but I just want to get the essence of it. So forgive me for not giving a whole background of it. But this soldier is ghost walking, you know, at night where you feel you can't see anything, but you're feeling what is in front of you, in order not to walk into anything because it's pitch dark. And he doesn't want to lit a torch or a flitslich or whatever. Now the Afrikaans is coming out. You know, to give his position away. And as he's walking, his foot slips. And he was very near a hillside. And he falls down this hillside, bumping against everything and rolling down, and there's branches hitting him, and he's trying to grab onto anything he can in order to save his own life. And he eventually grabs and he got hold of a branch and he's hanging on for dear life. And he doesn't dare scream for help because he's so close to the enemy. And he's like, God, help. You know, hanging on for dear life. Now, this is what he imagines he is, you know, hanging on a thread. He even tries to lift his knees, you know, in order to get more grip on this branch that he's holding. And he says, Lord, help. And a still small voice whispers in his ear and says, let go. He says, Lord, help. And a small voice again in his ear says, let go. And he's like, anyone else? Help! And he didn't dare let go. Later on, he cannot hold anymore. He's gripping on this branch. He holds on for dear life through the whole night. And in the break of dawn, when the sun just started to rise, when there's some light on the horizon, he realizes that he's only half a meter from the ground. So what was his mistake? He didn't listen to the voice. But in his mind, that voice was deceiving him. In his mind, he was going to fall to his death if he let go, because he couldn't see. And I think a lot of the times, our spiritual walk is the same. We can't always see where we're going. But from our beliefs, the beliefs, our core beliefs that we have, we interpret God's word in our own way. God gave him the correct advice. It is not that he was not a believer to pray to God that was his fault, but it was a mindset that was wrong in his mind that made him not choose the advice. I want to read you a bit from Ephesians 2, from verse 11. What I want to get you at is, if you look at all these negative questions that I mentioned, you can see that there is a distance forming. You know, we think we can't get to God. How can we get closer? You know, in the sense of, you know, why people aren't interested in me, it means why are they far away from me and not where I am? So let's see what the scripture says. Ephesians 2 verse 11. Therefore, now the therefore is important. The piece that follows says where it's therefore, but I'll show you why the therefore is therefore, okay? Let's first continue. Remember that formerly you are Gentiles at birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision that was done in the body by the hands of men. Now, to give a brief history about the Jews and the Gentiles, there weren't two cultures or two groups of people that was more further apart than these two. From language and culture and how they dressed and how they spoke, everything was different. So this, all that I want you to see from that is that there is a separation that we're gonna resolve. Remember, verse 12, remember that at a time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. Can we relate? Yes. I did. Even as a Christian, I could relate by this distance that has formed in my heart, that I had an expectation that I would be closer to God when I did certain things. Verse 13, but now in Jesus Christ. When is this but now? Now? Or when it was written? Let's think about that for a moment, but let's read further. But now in Jesus Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ is when we realize that we have been brought close through the blood of Christ. It can happen any time to any one of us. So we don't get closer to God by doing. We get closer to Him by realizing what He has done to us and changing our mind. The same as a person hanging on for dear life. If he only knew how close he was to the ground. If he realizes how good God is and recognizes His voice, he would have followed. But it comes from a misperception of who God is, that God is a good God. That we think up our own stinking thinking. So let's read further from verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, unfriendliness. He has come to make the two one and to break down the wall that divides us. So not just is there not a barrier for Him to hear our prayers. He has come to make us one with Him. Verse 15. By abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and its regulations, His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. See, God's heart is not just for us to be one with Him, but to be one with one another as well. As there's Jew and Gentile, which He has wanted to make one, Jesus has also came to make one with us. No distance, no barriers. To reconcile both of them to God, cross, which He has put to death. Then He came and preached peace to those who were far and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. I don't know about you guys, but for me, it is pretty clear on what is written. I don't have a degree in theology or any fancy learnings or studies about the Bible behind my name, but this to me is as clear as daylight, just in the Word. But the problem is not that we don't read it, the problem is that we don't live it or believe it. See, the whole message in the Bible is not about behavior modification. It's not to teach us how to live, but how to believe. If we believe that He has made us one, if we believe that there's no barriers, then our natural outcome would not be to say, my prayer is hitting the roof. It might be I'm asking for something that is going to hurt me. Or it might be that I'm praying for something that time is not right for me to receive yet. If we understand God's heart, we will also understand what He wants for us. And if we ask in His will, He will give it to us. Verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. So not just is he close, he's not just there's a barrier between us and him. We are all in his kingdom. We're all in his house. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So back to the story about the man. Now, some detail I didn't give you beforehand was he's a soldier and he was part of a legion. But he himself went to go and fight the enemy. Alone. Like a lone ranger. Yes, God still helped him. Yes, God still gave him the good advice. But he would not have been in that position if he disobeyed the commandments he got to stay in a group, to stay with his fellow soldiers where it is safe. I apologize for not telling the whole story, but I think you can understand that our walk is not alone. In the intercession that we prayed beforehand, I explained this principle. If me and my friend goes away to a deserted island and we spend 5 years together on that island, do you think I will know him thoroughly? Yes. But what if now a lady comes and joins us on that deserted island? Now there's going to be a bit of friction between me and my friend. And then I'm going to see a different side of him, which I've never seen. Why? Because a new peace was introduced that wasn't there before. And as he acts differently, I can turn it to myself as well. I'm going to act differently. If I act differently, if I'm in a different setting, then I cannot know someone completely if we are separate from community. That same mindset that God wants us to be one, we need to also realize again that we won't know ourselves completely. We will not know our spouse completely. We will not know our friends completely if we are not set in a different setting or with other people to bring out the best in everyone. Also, we cannot know God completely without community. God's heart is for us to be one. God's heart is for us to work together for good. I'm going to the last slide, please. We are engineered by his design. He molded and manufactured us in Christ. We are his workmanship, his poetry. We are fully fit to do good, equipped to give attractive evidence of his likeness in us in everything that we do. It is verse 10, just before the therefore. We are fully equipped to do good works. We are fully equipped to show evidence that we are God's people. Now it says about the evidence of His likeness in us. It's whatever we do, people will know that we are Christians by the way that we do it. We will be known for the love that we have for one another. I hope I made sense. I tried to squish a lot in this message. And just, yeah, what I want you guys to take back is we need to rethink. Repent, rethink, and renew our minds. Let me close for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are near to us, Lord. And you have abolished any distance between us. And that we can live in your presence, Lord. Help us to be aware of what you have done for us. To be aware of who you are in us, Lord. And aware of the plan that you have for us, Lord. Lord, help us be sensitive to your guidance, Lord. And help us not to filter your word that you so often speak to us, Lord. That we will always remain in your will, Lord. And that we will not put a foot forward if your presence is not with us, Lord. Amen.